Morning.
Morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Wow, that was quite delayed. Right? Jeez. Man, gotta work out, huh? Let's practice something. When your get to becomes a got to, you lost your what?
Gratitude.
That's what we talked about last week, the gratitude factor. So if you weren't here, you need to be grateful for something. You go and we actually have our sermons online now, so they're on our website. So if you go to our website, BrianFBC.com. Go to the sermons page. You can listen to last week's sermon if you weren't here, so it'll get you caught up. But this morning, we're wrapping up our Overwhelmed series. It was last week, and we've talked about stress, we've talked about fear, we've talked about anxiety, depression, repentance, and gratitude. And I know that this series has been impactful for a lot of you because I've been hearing your stories. You've been sharing your stories with me, which is awesome. I love to hear what God's doing within your lives, within the midst of the storms in some of your lives, and so it's good to hear that. But I know that there are still some people here this morning, and you're thinking, man, I'm so glad it worked out for Daniel. We've been in the book of Daniel, talking about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and you're like, I'm so glad it worked out for Daniel. I'm so glad it worked out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they went through the fire, and Daniel went through the lion's den, and that was just great. That was a great story to hear, and that's awesome, but here's the deal. My life is falling apart. I'm still experiencing chaos in my life. I'm still feeling overwhelmed, and I get that. I get that. Sometimes we read stories in the Bible and we see all the things God has done, and we're like, that's awesome, but I wish God would do now what he did back then, right? Well, here's the good news. He still does. He still does. You see, for most of us, the reason we feel overwhelmed is because there just isn't any peace in our lives. There just isn't any peace in our lives. Now, oftentimes we don't understand peace as a positive concept, right? Meaning when we hear the word peace, we think of the negative aspects of it. Meaning we think of the absence of trouble. Peace is merely the absence of trouble. That's what we think. We think of peace. But the word peace is more than just the absence of trouble. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two that he really liked. And he had to choose between them. One picture was a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for peaceful towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There, in the midst of the rush of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture. You know why? Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. The biblical concept of peace doesn't focus on the absence of trouble. Biblical peace is unrelated to circumstances. It is a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. Now, the Bible, I'm going to talk about this morning, the Bible talks about two types of peace. And the first one is peace with God. Peace with God. Now, I believe that this is something we all desire. We all desire peace with God. See, there's a rift, or we could say a gap between us and God. There's this gap between us and God. Now, men, don't answer this out loud, but have you ever had a fight or an argument with your wife that caused what we would call a relational rift? Anybody? Don't answer. Don't answer. Think about it. All the ladies are like, well, yeah, he did. Sure did. A relational rift. And the longer you let that go, the longer that relational rift gets, right? Now, there may have been a time, like I can only remember once, when Karen and I had an argument and I was wrong. It was only like one time I remember. It was only once. I know, I screw up. Everyone's
saying that is number two.
What?
Oh,
that's number two. Okay. Well, two's better than, I guess. I'll take two, I guess. But, so I was wrong, and I knew I was wrong. Now, the way to get back into a right relationship with your wife and is to say two words. And some of you guys need to write these two words down in your sermon notes. I'm sorry. That's the way to get back in a right relationship with your wife, is saying those two words. I'm sorry. But I did everything I could to make things better except for saying I'm sorry. You know, you need to say those two words, right? And then there was no peace between Karen and I until I said, I'm sorry. I could send her gifts, and that wasn't gonna make anything better. I could do anything, I give her a back rub, maybe get it back a little bit better, but until she heard those two words, I'm sorry, there was still going to be a rift in our relationship. And many times we take that same attitude when it comes to a relationship with God. There are people here today, and maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but you don't have peace with God. Here's the thing. Because of sin, there's a rift or a gap between us and God. And because of that sin, we cannot come into the presence of a holy God because of that sin. So there's this gap, this void. And we try and bridge that gap on our own, right? Much like I tried to do with Kara by doing everything I could to make peace instead of saying I'm sorry. We try and bridge that gap with religion, which would be going to church and reading our Bible or volunteering in the kids' ministry. Maybe not that far, but that's one of the things. We try and bridge that gap with morality, right? Hey, I'm gonna be a really good person. I'm not gonna cuss this week, and then someone pulls out in front of us 10 minutes after we leave church, and there goes that out the window, right? We try to bridge that gap with good works. With good works, I'm gonna do something really, really good. I'm gonna do some really, really good things, because our good things maybe will outweigh our bad things, right? But here's reality. There is nothing that we can do that bridges that gap. The only thing that bridges that gap, the only thing that gives us peace with God, is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that bridges that gap. That's why the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Paul says that peace with God comes by one way, Jesus. So the first question is, have you made peace with God? Has there been a time in your life when you realized you were on the side of the gap, one side of the gap, and God was on the other side, and you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you surrendered your life to Him? That is the only way that you and I can get from one side of this gap to the other side, is to be in a relationship, to be in a relationship with God, is through the cross of Christ. So do you have peace with God? The second type of peace is the peace of God. So we have peace with God, and then we have peace of God. Have you ever heard someone say, well, when I met Jesus, I did a 360. You ever hear anybody say that? You heard that from time to time, right? Now here's the thing. When a person doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, they are naturally walking towards chaos and disorder in their life. So maybe you were married, but that wasn't working, so you jump into a new marriage. Or you had a job, and that wasn't satisfying, so you jump into a new job. You drove one car, but really wanted a different one. It's like you're always looking for something else. And it seems as though things are getting more and more chaotic in your life. It's like you are trying to numb the pain, but you just can't get peace in your life. But here's the thing. If you're walking towards chaos and disorder, so chaos and disorder is over there, and you're walking towards chaos and disorder, and you meet Jesus, and you do a 360, what happens? You're still walking towards chaos and disorder, right? That's just geometry, simple math, right? No, you do a 180. You meet Jesus and do a 180 and you start walking back towards God, right? When you meet Jesus, you are walking towards chaos and disorder. You do a 180 and you turn around and begin to start walking towards hope, life, and peace in Christ. It's peace with God that leads to the peace of God. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything." If you have your Bibles and you're opening them up, underline those words, anything and everything. Because anything and everything, guess what that means? It means anything and everything, right? So anything you've ever gone through, or everything you ever will go through. So do not be anxious in anything and everything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And look what he says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Meaning, I have no clue what is going on and how I can have peace, but I have peace. It's like when Karen and I lost our little boy, and people came up to us and said, "Man, that's just horrible. I don't understand how you guys have it all together and you're having peace through this." It's just, we had peace of God. We had the peace of God. We can't explain it. Transcends all understanding. I can't explain it. When I start to begin to explain God, that's when I don't need God, right? Transcends all understanding. Will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Once you have peace with God, it is then possible to have the peace of God. But the reason some people never experience the peace of God is because they never made peace with God and trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Here's the thing. We can go through unbelievable things in life and still have peace. Unbelievably overwhelming circumstances and still have peace. When I was working on this sermon this week, I was reminded of a family that I went to church with when I was in youth group. And this family, during the week, their young child got ran over by a car and died. They just playing in the yard and darted out in the street, and a car hit him and died. That Sunday, that family was in church and they were literally praising God. And I was awestruck. I was like, "How can that be?" I did not understand. I was like, "How can you went? Your kid had just died, and you're in your Sunday, you're praising Jesus." Peace of God. Peace of God. It all goes back to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is a promise to his closest followers on the night he was betrayed and eventually crucified. Listen to these words. "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now some people are like, "How could he say that? He's about to be murdered. How could he say that? He's Jesus. He's Jesus. And if he said to his closest followers the night before they saw him murdered, by the way, for our sins, hey, you're going to see some stuff and it's going to freak you out. Don't worry about it because I'm here to give you peace." If he can say that, and if they went through that and had peace, then you and I can experience that as well. That's it. That's all I got. Pretty clear-cut sermon this morning. There's no need to keep going on and on about it. It's pretty simple. Peace with God can only come through one way, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you asked Jesus to make his home in your life? And once you have peace with God, then and only then is it possible to have the peace of God. Meaning when horrible, overwhelming things are happening in your life, you are still able to be at peace because you know that God is still God and that God is still good and that God has a plan in everything. It's exactly the stories we read in Daniel with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How on earth can you have peace in the midst of a lion's den? Because you have peace of God. First you have peace with God, and then you have peace of God. Jesus walked out of the grave as proof to you that you can walk out of whatever's holding you back, whatever's holding you down. The weight that is pressing down on you doesn't have to define you, because no matter what you're facing right now, Jesus is greater than your biggest doubt. Jesus is greater than your deepest regret. Jesus is greater than your impossible situation. Jesus is greater than your most overwhelming circumstances. The empty tomb is proof that nothing can hold Jesus back. And if he lives in you, then nothing can hold you back either. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for a series talking about being overwhelmed in our situations, Father. And we thank you that there's hopes in the midst of those overwhelming situations, Father. And we thank you for just your word and being able to read about stories of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and King Nebuchadnezzar and the things that you did in their lives, Father, because they trusted in you. And Father, it's our prayers. We know that you are the same God as yesterday, today, and forever. You have never changed one bit. You have remained the same. And so the ways that you work and the things that you did thousands of years ago, you're still doing today. We just may not see them because we're not looking for it. So, Father, help us continue to, when we're in the midst of our overwhelming situations, Father, that we look towards you. Your Son conquered the grave, conquered death, meaning he has, nothing can hold him back, Father. And so we have that same power within us. Nothing can hold us back. You are greater than anything we'll ever go through. So help us to rely on you. We love you.